Coming up on show 1027, we look at four new Mercedes EVs coming soon, and I'll tell you more details. Stick around. Also on the podcast today, we look at the new Lucid Motors Gravity, the Porsche Taycan's Motors, and why Nissan's in trouble on social media. Morning, afternoon, good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. EV News Daily for Saturday, 20th of March. My name is Martin Lee. My job to go through every EV story and whittle it down for you to just the stuff you need to know about. Your weekend long reads, if you have 15 minutes of, I don't know, some quiet time, wherever you find yourself having 15 minutes of quiet time. I recommend some articles that I've been, this week I've been thinking about how the finances work with EVs, because the grant was cut here in the UK. So thinking about, well, actually, how do we incentivize people? Is it carrot? Is it stick? You know, do you give people money off? Do you have tax cuts and things like that? So the first one I found was from Cincinnati.com, which says, time for Ohio to embrace electric transportation. And they go into the details there about how Ohio is looking at how their road funding is done, for instance. Less fuel duty and how the move to EV can, you know, impact the finances at kind of state level. I'll pop a link to an article from the South Seattle Emeralds, which is their vision for an all-electric transportation system. Interesting stuff as well. And also the third article I'll throw in this weekend is a long chat with Derek Jenkins. He's Lucid Motors Senior VP of Design, talking about designing the Air, the SUV, the Gravity, his love of van culture, and why their SUV would be his personal choice over the Air, which is the first car coming. A long article, fascinating guy. Have a read of that if you get time. Talking of Lucid, by the way, a new patent is revealing new images of their SUV. It's called the Gravity. Unveiled here in Europe, we see more glass on the roof compared to the concept car, which was pictured at the launch of the Air, its saloon car sibling, which will make it feel roomier overall. The back end is bigger. The concept back end was kind of bubbly, but the new, at least these images that have been found online, have a rear bumper pushed further out for more storage, more glass across the back of it as well for better visibility. You know what? It's just a, you know, it's a legal filing. It's a document that might or might not be what the Gravity looks like, but they haven't even got the Air on the road yet. But I'm still excited. It's still Lucid and a big luxury SUV. So this week, the UK grant of £3,000 was cut to £2,500. Not the end of the world, but it did slash the threshold from £50,000 purchase price to £35,000, which is a bigger deal, because that now takes a bunch of family cars out that aren't expensive family cars, but no incentive at all, no financial help to buy them. And even more importantly, they did it overnight and said, look, it's as of today, you lose it. Many car firms adjusting their prices, like Citroën. The top spec EC4 is called the Shine Plus, and it just missed out by £550. They've reduced it. It says Car Dealer Magazine, on the road pricing now starts from 31 to 32 and a half of the EC4. That is with the £2,500 grand grant. MG also saying that they will continue to offer the £3,000 discount, although the government throws in £2,500, they're going to pop in the extra £500 to the MG buyers. Auto Express adding the Shine Plus version of the EC4, the Citroën, is the most popular variant, and it's just one of many, many vehicles around that 35 grand bubble that just missed out that may well get a price cut. This particular EC4 was previously priced at £495 over the limit, so new price cut to get that car with a 50 kilowatt hour battery pack, 134 brake horsepower motor, 217 miles of range. It's a good set of specs on that, like their cousin cars, the Peugeots and the DSs, all similar, you know, powertrain on that and all good stuff. As for the VW range, in case you're wondering, they didn't change any prices, but they did put out a press release to say, hey, we still sell two versions of the ID3, which do come under the limit, the Life Pro and the Life Pro Performance. The Performance went on sale late last year, had some awards. It went down really well with car magazines, 58 kilowatt hour battery pack and 260 miles of range. Then there's the cheaper Life Pro. I keep wanting to say Pro Life, but that would be something very, very different. The Life Pro, which is an entry-level car, but still with a 58 kilowatt-hour battery, usable in the ID3. And I think coming soon, there's the Pure model as well, which is even cheaper and will have a a smaller 45 kilowatt hours usable. All right, let's talk about another article I found over the weekend called How the Porsche Taycan's Innovative Electric Motors Work. Many EVs, like the Audi e-tron, use the more affordable asynchronous motor, or ASM motor, but Porsche, they use a permanently excited synchronous motor or machine, a PSM motor, less prone to overheating, they say. According to CarBuzz, describing the supply and control of the three-phase voltage, so yeah, it's three, though EV motors fed by three-phase AC, even though your car stores it in DC. Yes, we know electric motors use AC, so... What, is it the inverter that does that? I always get it wrong. There's inverters, there's rectifiers. Whenever I say it, which one, people email me, I think you're fine, you meant the rectifier. This is a terrible EV podcast. Yeah, anyway, one of the bits, inverter or something inside. Change it from DC to AC. If I say inverter, something, I mean rectifier. The motors in an EV, in the Porsche, the speed of the motor is determined by the frequency of the voltage. Now that oscillates around the zero point from plus to minus. In the Taycan motors, the pulse inverter sets the frequency of the rotating field in the stator, and thereby regulating the speed of the rotor. So I guess I can say simply, EV motors have a rotor and a stator, and using that changing of the magnetic field by applying that alternating current is making the motor spin round. It's how regen braking works as well, when the motor turns and puts energy back into the battery. So really interesting. I'll pop a link to CarBuzz. They go into more detail. I won't get too bogged down. Now, next, European engineers are tackling EV lightweighting. Engineers at the Technological Institute of Aragon are coordinating a new European Union initiative to develop lightweight components for EVs, says assemblymag.com. Well, these space-age technologies are contributing to more kilowatt hours being able to be used because of lighter EVs. We know batteries are very, very heavy, but vehicle efficiency in terms of kilowatt hours used per kilometre or mile, as well as vehicle autonomy, reducing the environmental impact. Now, what this particular engineering group are doing, they're focusing on cross beams, suspension arms, and battery clamping and battery packaging. And this is kind of interesting, you know, so much heat is on things like batteries and motors in EVs, particularly it's the stuff I guess most people talk about, but it's worth pointing out that there is work being done on every part of the car to just make them incrementally a little bit better all the time, and that does include making as many parts as light as possible. Next, headline story today, the US was meant to be getting the Mercedes-Benz EQC. It's an SUV, but it didn't happen, and it never will. But that's okay, because the US is getting four new EVs in the next 2 years from Mercedes-Benz and their luxury EQ sub-brand. According to Inside EVs, two sedans arriving first. Not SUVs, even though SUVs are very, very popular. The two saloon cars come first. The EQS will go on sale this autumn and soon enter production in Germany in the next few months. Report not revealing an exact date for this, but it's going to be soon. Now, the EQS is followed by the EQE. On the same platform, deliveries in 2022, though, for the EQE. Driving range of both of those, 400 miles. Now, what's a little bit confusing here is the EQS and the EQE sedan saloons also get SUV versions, which I gather is not confusing at all for fans of Mercedes-Benz, because I gather that's what they do with their fossil cars anyway. They call them the same name, but there's different body shapes, but seems a bit strange to me. Like, oh, well, have you bought the new EQS? Which one? Big one or little one? Anyway, both called the EQS, but... So, two names, four cars, well, sorry, two cars, two SUVs, coming to the US in the next couple of years. Brilliant news. Next, we'll talk about Nissan getting themselves in hot water on social media. Nissan's been a... Nissan social media, Twitter, has been ablaze with their customers and fans airing their views on what they consider misleading advertising by Nissan. The people who replied to this particular tweet I saw said the company hit the wrong note when it was saying their new e-Power system had... they're doing a Toyota here. So Nissan have been advertising 100% electric motor-driven system, which is accurate. Like, so you put petrol into the thing, the engine works as a generator, the generator charges a tiddly tiny battery, and that provides AC power to an electric motor. So you're always driving, being propelled by an electric motor. Now, it's not an EV. You know it's not an EV, and so do I, because there's no plug socket. You have to put fuel into it. You have to combust. You have to blow something up with oxygen sucked into it, and you spit out the back of it things that kill people. It would be a terrible idea to sell one of these, let alone the millions they plan to, but they'll do their thing and I'll do my thing, so I won't exactly be queuing up to buy one of these e-power cars. Fabulously popular, I think, in Japan, and now coming to the UK and Europe. I just don't like burning stuff anymore. But anyway, Nissan saying, hey, buy one of our 100% electric motor-driven systems. Yes, the drive's main energy source is indeed gasoline. Twitter users know that. Simpletons know that. And they didn't appreciate having the wool pulled over their eyes. Nissan would deny, of course, they're trying to do anything underhand here. But they did irritate many people. One person replying, wait, is this a hybrid? And another person saying, you just invented a car with a gas-burning engine which powers an electric motor. Congratulations, Nissan. You invented a Chevrolet Volt. No, they didn't, though, because they haven't put a plug socket on this car. They've made a terrible version of a car, and they're trying to sell it as an EV. Nissan is not alone in trying to make their cars sound greener than they really are. We remember that Toyota and Lexus have been trying to get the phrase self-charging hybrid into the lexicon for years now. It's not working because you and I know there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid. It's a claim that's so misleading in Norway, the consumer agency banned their commercials. But people think that the advertising industry here should do the same, and I have to remind them on Twitter or sometimes on this podcast that our advertising industry is self-regulated. They have it's not an official government body that looks after our advertising here. They call themselves an authority. It's the advertising industry saying to our government, look, we can regulate ourselves. Look, it's nothing more than a limited company. And as I tell people, turkeys don't vote for Christmas. I'll move on. Right, next we'll talk about EV battery factories. Spain and SEAT and Iberdrola are using European Union funds for an EV battery factory. Spain plans to use the funding to form a new public-private consortium with Volkswagen's SEAT, of course based in Spain, and the power company Iberdrola to build the first EV battery factory in Spain. Great news, says Clean Technica. Battery production would create jobs and, of course, good for supplying electric vehicles. There is a Nissan car plant near Barcelona, which was closed. Was that back in December as part of their kind of rationalisation? So that could be used. That could be used to refurb that into a battery facility. Finally, we'll talk about Volvo Group investing in a charging software company. Volvo Group Venture Capital has invested in Drives, an EV charging software company. The platform operates for charging networks to operate those charge points for EV fleets, the whole ecosystem. A joint project between Volvo Trucks, the Volvo Group and Drives is ongoing with the aim of developing and testing new charging services for truck customers. Investment happening all over the place in the EV industry. And that is your podcast for today. I love shows like that when it's, you know, there was some Mercedes stuff in there, some car stuff with Lucid, but lots of other little diverse stories that show the breadth and depth of what we talk about in the EV industry that you wouldn't probably hear too many other places. Love it. Love it. So much good news around. Thank you very much for everyone who supports on Patreon. Check it out. Patreons, patreon.com/EVNewsDaily. Our premium partners are Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Porsche of the Village Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, nationalcarcharging.com and alohacharge.com, Derek Riley and his great EV Review Ireland YouTube channel, and Richard for buying and selling EVs in the UK. Check out rsev.co.uk. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. And remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.